Father.
So, Jean, I must talk to you now about Swiftbrook. And did you go in there directly after school, or did you do something first?
No, I left school. I wouldn't work any longer or go to school any longer. I went to Glen Abbey.
Oh, yes.
Glen Abbey was the clothing factory, and I was only there for 6 months. My father used to come and meet me every day because we were in town, in case anything happened me, on the Fortinstown Lane, which is City West, as I say. So all you could ever hear going along the road was, "Jean, is that you? Is that you, Jean? Is that you?" So he spent all, well, the 6 months coming to collect me. So because I shouldn't have left school, according to him, I should have went on. And then I went into Swiftbrook, and I was there until it closed. No, I got married.
No, you got married.
In 1960s. Yeah, 61 or 62. Yeah.
So it was kind of in the 50s you were in there?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Okay, now tell me, what was it? Describe the atmosphere.
Yeah.
What was it like in there?
Well, my friend here beside me, we had the fun of our lives. Most of us had great fun. And we always wanted to imitate Louis Armstrong. And we had pieces of paper, and we made bugles out of them. I think we always thought we'd be in a band. And we'd always be in trouble because we were always giddy.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella Fitzgerald, yeah. That's true.
And out in the canteen, there was a radio. That always reminds me of the radio in the canteen.
Yeah.
And at 4:45 in the evening, because we didn't stop work till 5:30, Ella Fitzgerald used to be on from 4:45 to 5:00. And I got wind of the word, you see, and I said to Jean, "Ella's on." And she said, "Oh, how are we going to hear her?" So we planned it anyway, that the forewoman, who was a bit of a diva, Lord have mercy on her soul, she'd be busy at that stage. She'd be tidying up after the day. And I'd go out and I'd tune in the radio. We had to tune the blooming thing in, you know, and direct it. And Jean would come out then, and the two of us would sit under the radio singing with Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, really? And was that BBC or was it RT?
Oh, no,
or?
I have to tell you.
Luxembourg.
No, it wouldn't be Luxembourg that early in the day, because that wouldn't be on until later on.
Did you have piped music or anything in the mills?
No.
Well, I'll give you a laugh. I did have it down in the clothing factory.
Glen Abbey.
And it was very funny. I was doing ironing, and I think we got 15 and threepence a week, and you had to give sixpence or a shilling or something to hear the music. That was one thing drove my father mad. He said, "You're cycling to Tala, you wouldn't go to school." And he said, "You have to give sixpence to a shilling to hear records, and you're, as he would say, you're working for bloody buttons."
And but you were in there, and the banter that would go on between you was great fun. But was the regime, was it strict? The management there, I mean, was it them and us?
Yes, very much. Yes, very much. But we didn't pay much attention to it. But we were
very
ducking
and
weaving. We were too young. You were only 16, I could also.
Yeah.
15, 16. But there was an awful lot of. There was great fun. Like, we keep on talking about Swiftbrook as though it was the be end of all. Do you know that kind of way? It was hard work.
Oh, God.
God, we, half of us, some of our friends, our good friends, are dead, really. And lifting dreadful lot of paper. I don't know whether I should say this, but Gladys, now, Gladys was very, very tiny, as she still is, but she was in a terrible way with pains, these huge big lumps of paper that she had to lift. It was hard. We were funny girls, we enjoyed it, but it was real. There isn't no one under the sun would work like us now.
No.
No one. They wouldn't lift it. You're talking about one particular, was that the sweepstake paper? That'd be half the size of the kitchen, and you'd be trying to lift that on your head.
You'd have to paint it, you'd have to count it first.
Yeah, count it first, and people's backs were ruined.
Yeah.
For nothing.
And but you say that you were just teenagers, but you, when you went into your 20s and you were still there, and you were thinking of getting married, and did you find your husband there?
No, my husband was down in the Air Corps, in Baldana.
Yeah.
He was serving his time in the Air Corps. I met him at a dance. Dances, we all met.
Newcastle.
And Sweetbrook had a little hop at the cauldron at the time. And my father used to run that, actually, himself and Jimmy Butler. And Mr.
Hop now with records, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Old 78?
Yeah, and Glenn Miller. And we'd all give threepence, or we'd pay in sixpence to get in, I think. And then my father and Mr. Butler and Mr. McDermott would start to hire bands, and we would go to the band. But my father and Mr. Butler and Mr. McDermott, old Mr. McDermott.
Oh, this is very interesting. Yeah, and where was the hop?
Just at the back of the mill. Where would you describe
in
it?
The here? Pavilion then, or the Swiftbrook developed a committee. A committee. It was a kind of a. They had a tennis court up there. Yeah. They built a pavilion, and there was dances every week, maybe Fridays and Sundays, and we had bands like Ralph Sylvester and
Jimmy Dunne.
And so these dances or hops were hop. All in the pavilion.
But we called the hop. The hop was when we had only the record. Yeah. First of all, they had to get. They were great men, really, because my father always said we want something in the parish to get the children. You know, more or less, not always on the road playing with hoops and whatever
hops.
Yeah, everything and all the different games, towns. There was great games, but as these three men, and maybe more, but just I remember my father and them, and they collected so much money. They were great, very honest men.
Great outlook.
Everything that went into it was put into it. Yeah. And then as time went on, don't ask me how, I wouldn't even remember how my father and them did it, but they got the bands. But we paid 5 shillings to get in to hear them. And the first one, I was coming down a place called Shields' Hill. It's just back here, Shields Bank. And there was a gate opened out, and I ran into the gate. At that time, you were lucky there was no cars in the road. My father was waiting all night for me to go because I was dressed up and all. So I ended up anyway with a doctor and in bed, and I was hurt. But that was I remember that more than that. That was Jimmy Dunne, and I ran into a gate, and I never heard him. That time.
Which was dreadful.
That was a terrible. Was at home in the bed crying when he came home to see where I was.
And who was Jimmy Dunne now?
Yeah, Jimmy Dunne was a great band.
Right. Was
you be funny. Are you be funny? He does now, doesn't he?
He does. The other thing you asked, had we pipe music in Swiftbrook? There was no music in Swiftbrook. But I'm telling you, if you came as a strange person to the door of the glaze room, the voices you could hear, we all sang when we worked.
That's right.
We had a band. We were the two instrumentalists, and we were singing, and we did all the Louis Armstrongs, all the Ella Fitzgeralds, we did all the modern music. Yeah. And then down the bottom, the older girls could start off a beautiful tune from a film, you know,
that's
Nelson
right.
Eddy and Jeanette right. MacDonald. And they'd start a song. Whoever started a song just kept it going. But the whole Saal would join in the singing.
Really?
The Saal, that's a long time since I heard that word.
The Saal, we used to call it the work room,
the
Saal.
Yeah.
And the whole Saal would be singing. And I often heard my aunt saying, my mother's sister who worked there as well, when Kit Attlee would start to sing, he'd charm the bird's eye, he'd a beautiful voice. And then Jack Riley be there as well, and all the women singing. It was like a choral society. Really, they should have had a choral society, because there was beautiful voices between Sagart and Raku.
That's right.
Oh, I would have loved to have been there and just heard that. I'd say that it was amazing. Yeah. It made work easier, too.
Oh, I tell you, it was
everyone
wonderful.
Everyone worked hard, but it really was. There was great. There'd be a little bit of rivalry in it, too, I think.
But you wouldn't miss work.
No.
It was a great place to go.
But we had to work Saturdays. We had to work every day.
Every day.
From 8 o'clock in the morning till 6, wasn't it?
And our big treat of the week was we got paid on Thursday.
Yeah.
So Jean and Fanny Birmingham and Anne that you've just had here, they used to go home on their bikes to Rathcoole for their lunch. Because there was a little canteen, but you could only get tea in it, you know, and you brought your lunch. And when they'd be coming back on a Thursday, because we'd all be paid, they'd have a quarter sweets for me and a quarter sweets for you and a quarter sweets for you, and they'd have the miracle for me and the oracle for you and the paper for somebody else. And these were forbidden things. Yes, we weren't supposed to read the miracle and the oracle. There was love stories in them.
Yeah. But you must tell me, Jean, it's fascinating. You say there was a bit of rivalry there. What do you mean?
Well, people would want jobs, you know, that were trying to get into it. There were people then that couldn't get into it. And I don't know what sort of a way it worked that you'd be taken in, I'd be taken in, and then you'd have people going for...
Click.
Yes. Yeah, click. Good word. And you'd have people going every
what
day.
What does click mean now, sir?
There was a click in Sarah, they'd say.
A cliche, yes, I know what you mean.
Well, it was called a click. Oh, they belong to the click. Theirs will work in the mail.
Yeah, they
belong
to
the click.
That's right.
We won't get in. And for years, Newcastle wouldn't work in the mail. And they ended up, they all worked in it later. And that's where I met my husband. And there was loads of Saggart Newcastle and Saggart Raccoon marriages from there.
That's right.
But at first, the Newcastle people, they were farming community and they wouldn't work because they wouldn't be taken into a Swift Book. There was too much of a click in it.
That's right. And then an awful lot of people looked down on Swift Book.
Mm. Yeah.
The farmers and all those, like we were in the mill and had the name of... We had great money. Nobody got the money that we got. Once you worked overtime, piecework, and we worked like mad to get what... I suppose the most we got... I remember John in the army, my husband in the army, was getting nothing. And I think we had £7. But we got £7.
You would have had, like I said, when I left in 1959, December 1959, I left to get married in the January... In December, I got married in December of 59. I had £3.17 and fivepence. But the two girls I was working with, Kitty McDermott and Bridie Murphy, they were over 21, of course. I wasn't. I was only 20. So I only had junior wages, and they had £11 a week, and we were working overtime for that.
Were you?
I did the very same work. In fact, I did twice as much work as Bridie because she used to spend her day talking.